I would like you to give a huge Tree of Life welcome to Pastor Shane Holzgrove.
Thank you.
Then it's only appropriate for me to start off by saying Magadini. It's really a privilege to be with you guys this evening. Pastor Benjamin said, thank you for that awesome introduction. Yeah, we really were just coming through and wanted to be part of what you guys are doing. When I contacted him, I said, we're coming through London. Can we meet up and have a coffee or something? Didn't know you had a conference. He said he's busy with a conference, so we said, well, we'll come. And then everything happened from there. That was really exciting. You can come up, Peter. I just want to ask Peter to share a testimony and show you some of our resources. But before we get there, I just want to say thank you to Ben and Amanda for having us. We've really enjoyed your hospitality and getting to know them. And as Ben said, we've known each other for a few years now. And it started with Arthur Menches sharing one of your posts. And I read, and he said, this is the true gospel. And I read the post, and I was like, wow, I want to be friends with this guy. So I clicked a friend request, and we started chatting. And I don't know if you'll remember this, but I remember you saying some Facebook post about I've got my visa for this country and that country, and you know, going here and there, everywhere, all over the world the next year. And I said, what about Africa, you know, South Africa? And then he said, waiting for an invitation. So I looked for his email straight away, and I sent him an official invitation. And I started by saying, this is your official invitation. And the rest is history. But thank you so much. Before I carry on, this is Peter. He's one of our pastors, and we don't have titles, so it's quite difficult. We have functions, but he's one of our pastors in Stellenbosch Church. So.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here, for myself and Shane and the team. It's just an honor to go around the world and just meet family and be with family. And even though we have different accents and different dialects, we're still family. We just feel that we fit right in. I just want to share a quick testimony. I've been, myself and my wife, at Grace Life for 5 years. So Grace Life is the church that Shane planted. So we missed out on the first 2 years, but we've now been there longer than what we've missed out on, which is awesome, and it's just going to continue from here. We moved to Cape Town from Johannesburg 5 years ago. And just a testimony on healing, on what Shane taught me, is if you believe that Christ died for your sins and that pays your way to heaven, that's not the only thing he paid for. He was crucified for your salvation, but he was whipped for your healing. And when that clicked in my mind, it was like either I believe this and I go to heaven and I'm healthy, or neither of the two work. It's the same logic, because Christ paid for it. And just a testimony on my side is that since we've moved to Cape Town on the 31st of May 2012, I've not been to a doctor. That is now 62 months, and it's all glory to God. It's all glory to the truth that that I learned in Grace Life, that I learned from Shane. And it's all because of the payment that Christ made. So I want to encourage you with that. There's much for you tonight, and you're going to just be blessed. You're going to be healed. You're going to be set free. We're going to see miracles. It's going to be awesome. And just in terms of the resources, this is all Shane's resources. It's on healing. It's a healing seminar. It is a devotional. So the healing seminar on there is healing is God's will, how to receive your healing, 1 and 2, and then ministering healing to others. Healing is not just for us. Once you're healthy, you need to go and dish it out. We need to go change the world. So you can get that. Then healing for today, 14-day devotional. It's almost an antibiotic course. And the number of days is just a lot cheaper, so you can get that. Then I don't know if you know how to be happy, but Shane knows and he's told us, so it's awesome. This is a very good book. I mean, it's happy, and it's not intrusive until you get on the inside. So you can give this to someone, they'll take it, and they'll take it with a smile, because everyone wants to be happy. And then once they get into this, they get into the gospel, they get into what God is for them. And then the last one that I want to give, just speak about quickly, is Psalm 91, Living in God's Protection. So we've actually been going around, and Shane is leaving them on the aeroplanes, in the pockets behind the seat, so if someone finds this, it's a nice pocket size. So if you know someone living in fear, they can carry this with them. We've been carrying it with them, with ourselves, on this trip. And the reason for resources is not to make money. The reason for resources is to get the word out. because someone will take a gift, but they might not come to church at first when you invite them. So from our side, we just want to, all the CDs on the table, they're nicely packed. They can, you can listen to them and then give them away. They won't know you listen to them. So you can take them for free. You can listen to them then. We've got the books. We've got the Psalm 91. We've got the healing devotional and the How to Be Happy. I think it's about $2, $3. You can get them all there. So if you don't, yeah, that's pounds. Sorry. I just come from dollar country. I'm going back to rands, but now we're on pounds. So yeah, it's £2 and it's £3 for the books. The CDs are for free. Then there's an awesome USB drive. On that USB drive, there's a video series on prayer and revival. There's a bunch of teachings there. That is £20. And in any of the resources, if you can't pay for it, please take it. We just want to bless you with it. So first of all, who wants to live in God's protection? The lady at the back there, I think you were first. You can come receive this. Then who wants to be happy? Oh, that was quick. There you go, man. And then these to go together. Who wants to know more about healing? At the back there, you can come. It's awesome. There you go. And yeah, back to Shane. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
That's not mine. Yeah. Again, thank you. You know, we're really blessed by the relationship with Tree of Life. As you know, we've got Lucas interning with us, and he's been a huge blessing to us. But it's awesome to see how he's grown. He was with us in Albania first. I didn't get to meet him until he came to South Africa. I met him on Skype, and it's been awesome to see how he's grown and stuff. But one of the things I can tell you is he really speaks highly of you guys, and especially of you guys, Richard and Jackie and Ben and Amanda. And you know, he's looking forward to coming back. I've been watching that, and he's really looking forward to coming back. So I'm excited for that. And you know, from what he said, I know that you've got quality leaders. I know from my interaction with them, but you've really got quality leaders, and I want to encourage you to just keep looking after them, protecting them, you know, defending them. You know, they need to be defended when they're not around sometimes. You know, so I want to encourage you just to look after them. But you know, one of the things as I've been just preparing for the conference, I've realized that you know, one of the things on my heart, this isn't a local church conference. This isn't a Tree of Life conference. You're hosting it. But the one thing I've really felt in my heart, that from the moment we knew, okay, we're coming and we're booking tickets to come and all of this, and we didn't even have our visas yet. But as we were preparing to come, I really just felt stirred up in my heart that this is significant that we're here this time. Because it's a Heal the Nations, not just the UK. It's God's kingdom, not just the United Kingdom. And so I believe that this is bigger than what you guys realize, and you're going into a new season with it. So you need to be getting ready for that. Amen? Awesome. Yeah, I received Christ at the age of 5. I don't want to give you my whole testimony. I remember around about the age of 7, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I was passionate about God from the beginning. Yeah, I remember I grew up with signs, wonders, miracles in every service, that kind of atmosphere. So I grew up familiar with that type of stuff, and I'm excited because my children are growing up with that now. And you know, the other day we had a guest speaker staying with us, and over the weekend it was busy, and my wife was complaining about her back pain and her lower back pain. And so I said, you know what, let's just check if what your legs are like, because you know, carrying kids on hips and stuff, sometimes you can get out of alignment and stuff. And her one leg was about that much shorter than the other. And this year in our church, since beginning of January, we stopped counting, I think, when we got to about 20 miracles, you know, in January. I was just like, you know, we're not going to be able to keep up with this, so let's just stop. And we started it in Albania, where we had a freedom conference, and I'm going a bit off there, but in Albania, we started off and we saw someone who had scoliosis and was in constant pain for 8 years. I said, you know, someone here has got lower back pain. She came forward, we prayed for her, and she was crying and freaking out because it felt weird as her leg was growing. I didn't pray for her. I got someone in the church to pray for her. And she's just been testifying about it, and people have been coming to the church, her friends, her co-workers, and everything like this, and God's done an awesome work there. You know, when my wife's one leg was shorter than the other, I think I've prayed for maybe 2 or 3 people this year for this. Because I like to get other people to do it. Yeah, you guys have fun with it too. So I said to my son, who was watching TV, 4 years old, I said, come here, William. I said, can you see that mommy's one leg is shorter than the other? He said, yes. I said, show me where. He pointed. And I said, I want you to lay your hand on, because we've taught him this. I said, lay your hand and say, in the name of Jesus, leg grow. So he did it. The leg popped out. And he said, did you see that? He said, yes. And he went back to watching TV. Then straight after that, that evening I was at church. We have an evening service. So I was at church ministering. And when I got home, my wife told me that before they went to bed, William said to her, mommy, your one leg was shorter than the other. I prayed for it and it grew. So it registered in his heart. A few days later, or weeks later, I can't remember how long, she was having some shoulder pain or something. She was complaining just in the kitchen saying, you know, I've got this pain, go in the name of Jesus, whatever. He says, mommy, are you okay? She says, yes, I'm fine, you know, my love. And he says to her, 4 years old, is your one leg shorter than the other again? Isn't that precious? Anyway, so I grew up in this kind of environment, but very legalistic. Very legalistic. I only got a revelation of grace in about 2003 through the ministry of Andrew Womack, and I'm eternally grateful for that. But, you know, that's where I got it. But before then, I remember I was leading a young adults group, and we were praying for someone who was sick in the middle. And I remember we were laying hands on them, praying in tongues, and I'm going, Lord, please heal this person. You know, God, just touch them. And then I thought, but what if it's not God's will to heal them? And so I said, well, you know, Father, heal them if it's your will. But if it's not your will, then just, you know, help them to learn what you want them to learn through this. And I was kind of talking myself in circles. I was so confused. I said, you know what? Do whatever you want to do, God. I'm stopping. I don't know what to pray anymore. It was a few years later that I got onto Andrew Womack and revelation of grace and healing and got rid of that bad thinking. If you don't know that's not good theology. But, you know, my life radically changed when I got a revelation of grace and I couldn't keep it to myself. I got in big trouble for that. I was doing grace Bible studies all over our town with people from all sorts of churches. We were seeing healings, we were seeing deliverances, we were seeing people coming out of bondages, and it was awesome. And then I was called in. And the rest of the story I can tell another time. But, the result of that was a church plant. I went to Karis Bible College in Colorado for my first year, and when I came back from that, I came back to get married, went back to South Africa to get married, and 6 weeks before we got married, we had a Bible study and a church was birthed. So our first child came before our marriage. And so we had this church and it just kept growing, and now we've got a couple of campuses in different areas, you know, and one in Albania, and it's just awesome to be part of what God's doing and to even partner with you guys and what you're doing here in the UK. I was like, thank you, Lord, we don't have to come to the UK. I love the UK. I've enjoyed it, but you guys are here. So we can support you in what you're doing. Amen. So anyway, my wife sends her love and regards to you. She looks forward to meeting you one day, and especially you, Amanda. She keeps saying she wishes she could have been here to hang out with you. But she'll be here hopefully some other time. Tonight I want to talk about, you know, a significant key to receiving your healing. And I believe even while we're busy talking, people are going to get healed. Yeah, while I was preparing, I really felt like, you know, there's a situation of cancer here. There's even just fear of it. You know, there's a growth, something, some problem with your ear. You know, there's a couple things that God highlighted to me, and I know that He's going to do a great work in your life. But I want to, before we get into ministering to anyone, we might not even need to minister to you. I really believe that this significant key to your healing is going to be a blessing to you. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. And let me start off by saying that, you know, we make healing about many things. You know, and I've been there. You know, we make it, let me say this as well. When I first started preaching and teaching this, I had all hell break loose. And many attacks on my health. Nearly died while on mission in Zimbabwe and came back. And, you know, it's just like many things have gone wrong. But I know the truth, and so I've continuously stood in it. And I've seen, you know, healings and miracles in my life and my family's life and others' lives. My mother had a fish allergy for 18 years. She nearly died a couple times. And, you know, the one day I taught on healing and she said, come over for lunch. And she made fish. We said grace and she ate. We didn't pray for her. She just decided, I'm healed. We saw many. I forget all the healings and things that we've had, but you know, it's just awesome to see the word work, because the word does work. And if you don't see it working, just hold on, because you, that's the point. That's the key, is just keep holding on. But we make healing about faith. We make it about confession. It includes these things. We make it about laying on of hands. It includes this. But there's something greater which it's about. And I think that if you get this, it's easy to walk in divine health, which is basically just, you know, what God's will is for you. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "Now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." So it's saying that the great, you know, what's greater than faith? Love. In the Greek, it's agape, God's kind of love, which is self-sacrificial love. So you know, what's greater than you know, faith muscles is the love of God. Yeah, you might not be excited about this, but this will radically change your health situation. You know, healing is all about love. It's not about faith. I don't know if you've ever heard someone say that. I haven't. As it came out my mouth, I got a bit scared. Healing is not about faith. It's about love. Okay? Yeah, Galatians 5:6. Faith works by love. If you don't have love, faith isn't going to work. So it has to be about love. And you know, in Galatians, when it's saying faith works by love, it's agape. It's God's kind of love. Now, I'm not from here, so if I stand on your toes, I apologize in advance. But I'm just going to go for it and say that, you know, if you take that Galatian scripture and say faith works by love, I need to love God, and it's if faith works the more I love God, then you're legalistic. It's not about that. It's talking about how much God loves you. And so the more you know God's love for you, the more your faith is going to work. It's not about loving God. I was in a church once where their motto was love God. And it from the beginning, it didn't sit well with me. And I know that we love God. I mean, obviously, we love God. That's why we're here. But it's kind of like, what's more powerful than that? Knowing God loves you. Okay? Look with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, the greatest of these is love. If you're just the faith man, you might look on your bookshelf and see more books on faith than anything else. You've got a deficiency. If you're focused more on faith or on hope, then you've got a deficiency. You've got to have a greater focus on love, because that's the greatest thing. Okay, it's all about God's love. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, it says, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." You know, when I think it was Greg this morning, or it was maybe you said this scripture, it just sprung up in my heart and I added it in. Because it's saying pursue love. Pursue, not loving others as much as letting God love you. Because it's agape, God's kind of love. Okay, so you know, the power to change the world, I mean, that's what this conference is all about, right? The power to change the world is God's kind of love. It's not even miracles. Miracles come as a result of God's love. Your prayer life will improve the more that you're experiencing the love of God. Everything in your life will start to improve the more you experience God's love. So what do you need to focus on? God's love. You focus on the finished work of how much He loves you and what He's done for you, and faith will start to, you know, blow the roof off. Okay, the power to change the world is His love for us. This is the foundation of moving in the gifts. This is the foundation of seeing miracles. It says pursue love, and then it says earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. So the foundation is God's kind of love for you. Yeah, and this might sound very simplistic for you. It might be Christianity 101, but I can guarantee you we all need this evening. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. And if you weren't here, you would need it more. Amen? Yeah, pursue love. That phrase, pursue love, you can translate it as press towards. So when you're pursuing, you know, Amanda pursued a man down the street. Out of love. That's the way we should pursue God's kind of love. Experiencing God's kind of love. Not trying to love God, But pursue God's kind of love like you just want to experience more of it. Yes, you know God, Jesus loves you, this you know, for the Bible tells you so, whatever. But the point is there's dimensions to God's love. Paul prayed for us and he said what? That we would know the height, the depth, the breadth, the length. There's so much more to God's love for us than we realize. And yet most of us are just skimming the surface. We want to go on to something else. I want to know about prosperity. Love will unlock that. Love will unlock everything because faith works by love. You want your faith to work? Focus on how much God loves you. Okay, pursue love means press towards. It's talking about God's kind of love. And so it's saying press into God's love for you. Your 1 John 4 verse 19 says we love him because he first loved us. Well, that kind of sums up everything I've just said. The reason we love God is because he loved us. The reason we worship is because we're overwhelmed. It's a response. The reason we give, it's a response. We're like, wow, God, you're awesome. So let me press in. Let me love you more. You know, with us, like, we've got a what we call the dream team. It's our volunteers. And we don't just, if someone pitches up, even if they've been with us for a while and they want to serve and help, we don't let them. If someone's new, they've come from another church or whatever, and they want to serve, we don't let them. We're like, sit down, just receive for a while. You know, go through our growth track, go through our process, get to know us a bit. And it's not just get to know us a bit, it's let us minister to you and allow God's love to kind of just impact you so that you're serving out of an overflow. Because everything in the Christian life that you do should be out of an overflow. Now, when there's no overflow, press in. When you don't feel like giving, give anyway. When you don't feel like doing the right thing, it's always the right thing to do the right thing. Right. Amen? So don't just do things because you don't feel like it or don't feel like it. Do it because it's the right thing. But what I'm saying is that everything should be out of the overflow of God's love, where you're just like having a great time with God and letting him love you and minister to you. And then as a result, it's just like, you just can't help but give. You can't help but get involved. You can't sit still. It's like when I had a revelation of God's love, which is his goodness, it's his grace, it's his love for us. When I had a revelation of grace, it was a case of, I can't keep this to myself. You know, we are labeled a cult. By my family, especially. Not my immediate family, but you know, there's people who think that we're a cult. Not just family, but others. And it's because we're radical. I mean, if you read the Bible, it's pretty radical. Amen? Anyway, Galatians 5:6, faith works by love. You know what that means is 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that you're an ambassador of Christ. Now, Christ is God, and the Bible says that God is love, so you're an ambassador of love. Many of us, when we're trying to witness to people, we just want to see a miracle. We just want to see a healing. We want to see a salvation. And it's motivated by the fruit that we're going to see. And it's not wrong per se, but our motivation should be love. 1 Corinthians 13. As an ambassador of Christ, you should be witnessing out of a love for people. You should be wanting to see people healed because you love them, not because it's another healing under your belt. We should be motivated by, wow, that person's really suffering. I mean, that's what we could all see in Amanda as she shared that story, is she was really motivated by love for this man. It wasn't a motivation of a sense of right and wrong, as much as it was a motivation out of a genuine love for that individual, because she's experienced the love of God, and the love of God is now flowing towards that individual. You can't be an effective ambassador, minister, Christian without experiencing the love of God. Okay? So healing really is just love manifested. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Healing is God's love manifested towards us. And you know, if I'm thinking about, when I was thinking about what to minister on and everything like this, this is really what I felt stirred up to minister on. And what I would, you know, if you've got questions like, is healing for today, or, you know, did healing pass away, or does God want to heal everyone? If you've got questions about Paul's thorn, if you've got questions about Job, I'm not addressing any of that. We've got resources on that. Just take that. Like Peter said, if you don't want to pay for it, just take it. Okay? Because we want to help you discover truth so that you can walk in freedom and in the abundant life. But Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, But God commends his love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? Commends, the Greek word for commends, we can also use exhibits. It's God's demonstrating, God's showing his love for us. Okay? So, God demonstrated his love for us in sending Jesus to die for us, and in the salvation package is healing. And so healing is part of the atonement, part of what Jesus did for us, but healing is Jesus' love, God's love for you manifested in your body. It's not just some kind of emotional experience that God wants you to have. It's a physical experience that he wants you to have, experiencing his love and healing too. Okay, but let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I know a lot of people don't preach with a lot of scripture, but I do. Ephesians chapter 2. We usually put the scriptures up on the screen to help with that. And I think you're doing a good job there. And we had someone come once and say that they can't come to Grace Life because we use too much scripture. And I said, well, we're not going to start Grace Light, you know. They were looking for some like a poem and an encouragement, and there you go, God bless you. We don't do that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So, you know, by grace you are saved through faith. Now, whose Bible is this? Okay, I'll pretend it's mine. So now, by grace is God's extending his healing, it's salvation. By grace through faith you're saved. Grace is extending the gift towards you. God is extending the gift of salvation towards you. The Greek word for salvation is sozo or soteria, which means healed, delivered, prospered, made whole. When you receive Christ, you receive sozo. You receive salvation, healing, deliverance, freedom. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of light. That means you're not governed by sickness or sin. You're not governed by the things of darkness. You're governed by the things of light. But many Christians don't know that. That's part of the problem. We perish because the devil's so big. Hosea 4:6. Amen? Some of you think amen because you don't know that scripture. It says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. What you don't know is killing you. That's what's holding you in bondage. It's not a generational curse. It's not the witchcraft coming against you or something. You're perishing because you don't know who you are in Christ. When you realize what you've got in Christ, it'll take you to another level. When you realize what Jesus has done for you, the devil can't. I love preaching on the devil. Now, he's defeated, the scripture says, right? So, you know, the devil's so big, he's attacking me with sickness. And then you're fighting the devil and you're praying more about the devil or to the devil than you are speaking to God. That's bad. That's not prayer life. That's talking to the devil. The devil's defeated. He doesn't have a foot to stand on. So now picture the devil in front of you. No legs. He's a pushover. He has no foundation. You're bigger than him. You know, some of you are scared. You just have fear. Never mind scared of the devil, you're just scared. Fear is scared of you. Because the greater one lives in you. That's what we need a revelation of. If you realize who you are in Christ, the devil will try, but he will not succeed. Yeah, you know, what it says, he's defeated. What's the other one? Sorry? Yeah, he's a toothless pussycat, actually. We've got a lion park near the church, and I went there years back and had the privilege of staying in a camp site, and you sleep amongst the lions, not close to you, there's an electric fence, hallelujah. But you while you're sleeping, you hear them. We don't have lions running the streets, let me just, you know. But you know, you hear them roaring during the night and everything, it's really an awesome experience. And the one lion there, they rescue lions from circuses and abusive situations and all of this. And the one lion, so that it wouldn't bite anyone, the owner pulled its teeth out. And as a result, it couldn't chew its food, and it had an overdeveloped tongue, which means its overdeveloped tongue hung out of its mouth all day like a dog. It's sad, but it looks really funny. And when I saw that picture, when I saw this line, I thought, this is like the devil. The scripture says he's as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is not a roaring lion. He's as a roaring lion. He's trying to intimidate you. He's trying to deceive you. That's all he can do. And if you believe his lies, then he's got you. So if he can sell you the lie that you're going to die because you're sick, he's got you. Yeah, you can try and ride on someone else's faith, but he's got you. Yeah, make your arrangements. But if you realize that he's just intimidating you, you can resist him and see him flee. So he was defeated at the cross. You got that picture in your mind now. Now he's been disarmed. You get where I'm going with this? He hasn't got arms. He can't hit you. He's been disarmed. She got it. He is as a roaring lion. So just picture him with his big tongue sticking out of his mouth. I'm not going to do it for you. Yeah, we had Ed Elliott recently with us, and I'll credit him the first time I say it, to quote him. But he said, the next time it's mine, he said, where Jesus was casting the devil out of this guy, and there was a legion, which is how many? 1,000. 6,000. So there's 6,000 demons in him. What do they say? Cast us into the pigs. Okay? And the pigs had enough sense to commit suicide, firstly. Then, just picture how small a demon must be to have be filled with 6,000. I love that picture. Just picture it for a moment. You can't fit 6,000 grapes inside of you. And yet you're scared of the devil. Some of you need it. We've got a teaching there, Revelation of Satan, so I'll stop there. But that's what's on that one. We need to not be so scared of the devil. Yeah, if we've got a revelation of who we are in Christ and we're convinced of God's love for us, healing should be easy. It shouldn't be difficult. It should be as easy as receiving Jesus and being born again. Because it's the same thing. It's salvation. It's sozo. It's healed, delivered, prospered, made whole. It's a salvation package. You know, Philemon, however you want to say it, there's only one chapter, but verse 6 says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So it's saying that there's good things inside of you and that your faith starts to work when you start to acknowledge what's inside of you. Okay? Your faith starts to work when you acknowledge what's inside of you. It says there that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging. You know what the word acknowledge means? Recognize. You can't recognize something that doesn't exist. Many Christians are confessing, trying to create something. I'm healed, and they're hoping to be healed. This is magic. Yeah, we're kind of going for it, trying to possess something that we don't believe really exists. But acknowledging means something exists. Now, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. This kind of echoes what I'm wanting to show you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So, what's your time of need? What do you need right now? What's your condition? What are you trusting God for? What are you believing for? If you've got a time of need, this scripture says you can come boldly to the throne of grace. And I just feel right now, like God's just saying, whatever it is, just come. Yeah. Just come right now. Open up your heart to what I'm about to show you, and it'll be easy for you to receive your miracle, easy to receive your healing. You're gonna see it happen so easily, without anyone laying hands on you even. Okay, it says, let us therefore come boldly. Boldly isn't, do you call it a wet wipe? Yeah, it's not, boldness isn't a wet wipe. It's not a pushover. It's not floppy. Boldness is something which is confident. I've seen it with my kids. I'll be standing up front after the service, praying for people, talking to people, whatever. They run into that room boldly and confidently. No protocol observed. They're just like, there's my dad, I'm going for him. You know, doesn't matter if we're having a holy moment, because this is a more holier moment. You know, many of us treat God like he's the president or the queen or something like that, where we feel like we need an invitation. If you see him like that, here's your invitation, come boldly. You've got it written, a written invitation from the king. It's for you. Okay, come boldly unto the throne of judgment. Many of us believe it's the throne of judgment. That's why we don't come to God. And that's why we don't receive our healing, because we think that God's judging us and rewarding us for our healing. Healing is not a reward, it's a gift. Yeah, you don't pay for any gift ever. If you do, it's not a gift. A gift is a gift. Okay? Healing is not a reward for good behavior. It's not a case that, oh, you know, well, God, I've been saying my confession, I've been going to church. Why did they get healed? They're a new believer. I'm still trusting for my healing. You've got a rewards mentality. It's not a reward, it's a gift. It's a free gift. You can't do anything to earn it. If you're trying to, just stop. Do everyone a favor. Just stop. Sit, relax, receive. God wants to love on you. Have you ever had someone trying to earn your love, trying to be your friend? It can be tiring, right? I'm not saying God's tired of you. I'm just saying that it can get tiring for us as humans when people are trying to win your favor, trying to win your affection, trying to be your friend. It kind of makes the relationship strain. Now, that doesn't happen with God. He loves you in spite of you. But you need to realize that he just wants to love on you. And it's not going to cost you anything. So come boldly unto the throne of grace, not judgment. He's not treating you as you deserve. He's treating you better than you deserve. The throne of grace means, hey, he's not going to like look at your life and now call to account and try and tell you, hey, you don't deserve healing, so I'm not giving it to you. You don't deserve healing. But now that you're in Christ, you deserve it. He took what you deserved, so that you get what he deserves. There's somebody here, you feel like the sickness that you've got, you deserve it. And I believe that's a word of knowledge. You really feel that you got what's coming to you. And God says, I took what you deserve so you can get what I deserve. Jesus doesn't deserve sickness. You know, I was driving a few years back in our town, and as I was driving, it was early morning, I was dropping someone off somewhere, I had a sharp pain just in my side, and I did what I usually do. Pain in the name of Jesus, you have to leave. And as I said that, I was still waking up, I think it was about 5 in the morning. As I said that, I just had this thought, you know, I had just previously had a minor altercation on the road with someone. And I got irritated because somebody had cut me off at 5 o'clock in the morning. I was like, why does this happen now? You know? And I just like got a little bit angry, and as I rebuked that pain afterwards, I thought to myself, you don't really deserve that. You know, you've just gotten angry at someone. And as I said that, I thought to myself, you've still got some legalism to get out of your system. You're in performance mentality right now. Jesus took what you deserve, so you get what he deserves. Now, you know, when it comes to finances, there's wisdom, and you should operate in wisdom. But this is just my testimony. Your pastor can fix it afterwards if he doesn't like it. 1 month, probably more than a year ago, we really just misspent somehow. And it was like mid-month, and we were like, we really didn't know what happened. It was weird. And as soon as we looked, we saw that there's more, month at the end of your paycheck, yeah. I said to my wife, you know, well, this is really just getting what you deserve. We didn't plan very well this month. And as soon as I said that, I said, but Jesus took what we deserve, so we get what he deserves. In the name of Jesus, this will be our best month ever. And it was. We're not into the hint ministry. We didn't tell anyone. We didn't say, you know, we're trusting God, this is going to be a good month because we made a mistake. We didn't do that. We just kept it to ourselves, and we never lacked. We had more than enough, all that we need. Okay, but the point is that we need to realize what we've got in Christ, that he took what we deserve, so we get what he deserves. We've got what he deserves. You deserve your healing. Healing is for you. Okay, but the way that we can see it manifested is by acknowledging what you've got, not your sickness. Don't acknowledge your sickness. Acknowledge what you've got in Christ, not in the flesh. Your faith becomes effectual when you acknowledge what you've got in Christ, not in your body. Most of us are very familiar with confessing what we've got in the body, but very unfamiliar with confessing what we've got in Christ. We need to turn that around. Amen? Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If you focus on his love for you and how he gave you the best gift of all, it should get your faith working very easily. Think about it. Jesus is the best gift of all. He includes healing. It includes healing, but bear with me for a moment. Healing is minor compared to eternal salvation. One day you will cease to exist on this earth, and you will pass on into eternity where you will not need healing again. Healing is a temporal thing. Most of us can't be happy while we're trusting for God to heal us. While we're waiting for our healing to manifest, we can't be happy. I'm never going to be happy until I see this, you know, come. That's a bad testimony. You're not a good witness. You get how to be happy. you can be happy through anything. Paul was. What's your excuse? Okay, so the point is, if you focus on his love for you, it'll get your faith working. Okay, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give? Freely give means to grant as a favor, in kindness, to pardon or rescue. It comes from the root word charis, which is grace. So he's freely give you all things. He gave you the best gift of all, eternal salvation in Christ, saved from your sins. Why wouldn't he heal you? If he can, you know, if he can jump 100 meters, why wouldn't he jump 10 meters? If he can, if he can pay off the debt of your sin, which he did, why wouldn't he heal your body? Why? That's not a loving Heavenly Father. But if you focus on his love for you, it'll get your faith working. You'll be expectant. You should be expectant of good things. So, getting back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, not judgment. There's a throne of judgment, but this isn't talking about it. One day, if you're a believer, you'll be judged. And I believe you'll be judged righteous. That's what 1 John says. You know, we don't have to have fear on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We're righteous. So one day you're going to be judged as righteous. There's no videotape series on your life. God's not going to embarrass you. You're righteous. That's shouting ground. Amen? that's a good message. Anyway, that we may obtain mercy. Now, the word obtain isn't usually focused on here. Okay, if I'm going to obtain something, it means that thing is in existence. Yeah, you don't have it, but it's there. It's yours. If God's saying, hey, come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Get hold of mercy. Mercy is waiting for you. What is mercy? Not getting what you deserve. You deserve that sickness because you did something stupid, but God wants to heal you. He wants you well. It's yours. It's got your name written on it. Come and grab hold of the gift. Obtain mercy and find grace. How many of you have played hide and seek? We all know what hide and seek is. Have you ever played hide and seek and there was nothing to find? That's no fun. Now, we've all treated someone like this where you say, hey, to a kid, let's go play hide and seek. You go hide, I'll come find you. Just to buy a few minutes, right? But the point is, okay, maybe you haven't, but now you've got the idea. But the point is that when you find grace to help in time of need, it means that in your time of need, there's grace, unmerited, undeserved favor to help you, actually, and you've got an invitation to cash in on it. You can experience the help that you need just by coming boldly. You need to come up boldly like my sons do. You know, like a son would come to his father. No protocol observed. You just coming boldly and saying, Dad, I need this. Dad, thank you for this. And just grab hold of it. And you'll be able to do that when you're convinced of his love for you. So just focus on his love. It says in Hebrews, you know, that we focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Some scriptures say the perfecter of our faith. Focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy set before him. And then it talks about what he went through. When you focus on Jesus and his finished work, what he's done for you, he perfects your faith. It'll perfect your faith. He is the start of your faith and the finisher of your faith. You need faith to receive your healing. Focus on Jesus. Don't focus on your faith. Focus on his love for you. Focus on what he's done for you. You'll see it come. Amen? And there's a couple other things I wanted to share, and I'm not even going to get there. But I want you just to stand with me for a moment. And before we do anything, I just want you to put out your hands in front of you. You know, just be comfortable and just focus on Jesus for a moment. Close your eyes. You know, that the Bible says that we can know and experience his love. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That means that the Lord is good. He is equal to good. You cannot encounter God. You cannot encounter God and not experience his goodness. When you encounter God, you will only ever experience goodness and love because God is love and God is good. So you don't have to be fearful about coming into contact with God ever. I mean, he's with you all the time. You just don't realize it. So Father, I just thank you right now by your Spirit that your Holy Spirit gushes forth the love of God in our hearts. That we would know the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of your great love for us, Father. Just in your heart, just invite the Holy Spirit to reveal more of the Father's love to you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to gush forth, you know, the love of God in your heart. He wants to pour out the Father's love, give you a deeper revelation of how much your Father loves you. That he would give his only Son to die for you, to pay for your sin, to purchase your healing, your redemption, to make it easy for you to be able to walk in divine health and complete freedom. I believe that God wants to you know, some of you to start walking in freedom this evening. There's some of you, you've been carrying a bondage for a long, long time. Someone, it's a spirit of rejection here. In the name of Jesus, I command that spirit of rejection to go. You are accepted in the Beloved. You don't need to even, you know, acknowledge that spirit of rejection. All you need to do is know and experience and discover that amazing love that God's got for you. How accepted you are in the Beloved. It doesn't matter who rejects you. You're accepted in Christ. He loves you just the way you are. You are free. Holy Spirit, we just invite you now. We thank you that you're revealing the Father's love right now to each one of us. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you that you're a good God, that whenever we come into contact with you, we only ever experience good. Some of you are tired. I want to encourage you. Just pray softly in tongues and just allow the Holy Spirit to refresh you right now. He doesn't want you to be weary. He doesn't want you to be tired. He wants you to be your strength renewed. He wants you to leave this place tonight refreshed and strengthened and renewed. He wants you to leave excited and built up and encouraged. And you know, if that didn't happen through the Word, it's going to happen right now as you pray in tongues. Just allow the Father just to love on you and minister to you right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And I'll start off, just I want to ask if anyone has lower back pain. Is there someone here, you've got lower back pain? Come up. Peter, you can come up and help me. Natasha, you can come up and help me. Maybe just come on this side. Yeah, you stay there. Just keep praying in tongues and allow the Holy Spirit just to minister to you. Come over here. Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that right now, whatever sickness is in anyone's body, it's leaving right now. If you've got pain in your body, lift up your hands right now. Whatever pain is in your body, if you've got pain right now, in the name of Jesus, that pain is gone. Pain, go. You are not welcome. Whatever's causing that pain, the damage has now been reversed and you are healed. You don't need someone to lay hands on you. It's gone right now in the name of Jesus. Angelo, where are you? Someone want to come and pray? Does that point you out? I met you earlier, so you can come. You prayed here? Good. Yeah, you can pray. Or just come and lay hands here and tell the leg to grow in the name of Jesus. Short and simple prayer. Start over here. See it growing already. You can pray. Thank you, Father. We'll close in a minute, but we just want to give the opportunity to minister to anyone else who's sick, but we're going to just do a few words of knowledge first and we'll close. I'll give over to Ben, and then if you want prayer, you didn't receive anything yet, then you can come up afterwards. But whatever your condition is, just put your hand on that area where that condition is. The Bible says that believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So lay your hand wherever that condition is, whether it's your head, it's all over your body, just put your hand on your head. If you've got a condition, just put your hand on that area and just say after me, everybody say, I will lay hands on the sick and they will recover because I am a believer. And Jesus said that believers will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Thank you, Father. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare that you are free from your sickness. You are free from your pain. Someone here, you've got chronic arthritis. I believe that God's healing you right now. You're experiencing just a warm sensation over your body. That's the Holy Spirit just loving on you. You're experiencing something supernatural right now, and God's just saying, hey, you're healed. You're healed. Someone, you've got a hip problem and you can feel a bit of a tingling and a little bit of a burning there. And that's just, it's not pain. It's not something that's wrong. It's the Holy Spirit touching you. It's God ministering to you. You're healed. Thank you, Father. Anyone got sinus problems here? If you've got sinus problems, come up. Just stand in the front here. You're not coming up to receive from me. You're coming up as a sign of faith that you want to receive. And so you're just in receiving mode right now. And if you're standing there, just stay in receiving mode. If you're not sick, stay in receiving mode for receiving just more of the love of God, experiencing more of the love of God. Father, we just thank you right now that by your Son's stripes, we were healed. We're healed. And at the name of Jesus, every sickness must bow its knee and go, including sinus problems. You are healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I release the life of God into your bodies. You are healed in Jesus' name. Healed in the name of Jesus. Be expectant of good things. You are healed in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The damage is now reversed in the name of Jesus. The power of God is at work in your body. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and at work, revitalizing every part of this body, not just the sinuses, but other things which are wrong. Right now, there is correction taking place. Healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Complete healing in the name of Jesus. Complete healing right now. Every allergy, bow your knee and leave now in Jesus' name. You are not allergic to anything. In the name of Jesus, freedom, freedom. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Restoration. Thank you, Father. Let your love just manifest now. In the name of Jesus. Freedom. I just command the spirit of fear. Go in the name of Jesus. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind right now. There is restoration taking place, not only in your body, but in your heart. You've been not only gone through offense, but ridiculed, and there's been rejection and all sorts of other things. And God's just saying, just look to me. Allow me to refresh you with my love. Be expectant of good things. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Anyone suffering with chronic headaches? Anyone suffering with chronic headaches or migraines or whatever you want to call it? Someone at the back there, you can come up. Just come here for a moment. Keep receiving, just inviting the Holy Spirit just to minister to you. In the name of Jesus, I declare freedom right now. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Healed. Complete restoration in the name of Jesus. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and at work in your mortal body. It's giving life to every part of your mortal body. You have no evil in you. There's nothing evil in you. You've got the Spirit of God in you. You've got the life of God in you. The greater one lives in you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that headaches will cease, migraines will cease right now. In the name of Jesus. Free. Free. You're not chronic with anything. You're not chronic with anything. In the name of Jesus. Headaches cease. Pain go. Never return. Whatever's caused this, whatever brings it back, is now corrected. I suffered with migraines. I had to carry around wafers and put them under my tongue whenever I was about to start suffering one. And I said, this is bondage. Threw it away. Went through 3 days of agony. But held on to the word that said, by his stripes I was healed, and I haven't had one since. That was about 15 years ago. In the name of Jesus, you are healed. Restored. Set free right now in Jesus' name. Complete correction throughout your body. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you for all of us right now, that you just refresh us in your love. Refresh us in your love. Refresh us in your love. Just open up your heart again to God. Just say, invite the Holy Spirit just to come and minister to you, to reveal the love of the Father to you. Pray in tongues. Just begin to pray in tongues. Sing in tongues. You're not praying for anything specific. You're not trusting God for anything. You're just inviting the Holy Spirit just to minister to you. You're fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit right now. You're allowing the love of the Father to manifest right now throughout your body and in your life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you are good. And that when we come into contact with you, we only ever experience good. You are not harsh, you are not mean, you are not judgmental, you are good. You're a good Father. You have good gifts for us. We receive. In the name of Jesus, cancer must go. Fear must go. Thank you, Father, we are free from the kingdom of darkness, completely free. That's how much you love us. You've set us free. We're free, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Praise God. Praise God. Let's just keep in this flow for a moment. You know, one of the things I really want to equip each of you with, if I could sit down with each of you one-on-one and say this to you over and over again. You know, these meetings are awesome. They really are, but you can have this healing power sitting in your house on your own. You can have it in the office. You can have it at the school gate. You can have it in the college. You can have it in your car. This power is for you every moment of every day. And I believe that part of the shift that's happening in Tree of Life and Tree of Life Network, and as Shane said, it's bigger than just us. Of course it is. And if you're our guest here today, I'm really glad you came. And this conference is free, and you've got no obligation to join Tree of Life. We're not going to sign you up to anything. But what's happening is we're realizing that the fivefold ministry, we're not here to do the job for you. We're here to show you how to do the job. And there's somebody here. Oh, Jesus. You're not sick, but your child is. And you came here today to ask someone to pray for your child, and you're not even sure how to do that, who to ask. And God says, ask me right now. Ask me. You don't even need a man of God. You don't even need a woman of God. You're the head of your house. You're the father. You're the mother. I don't even know if it's a mum or a dad right now, but that baby's on your heart right now. And I don't even know when I say baby if it's a little baby or, you know, I've got a 20-year-old baby at home, you know. But I tell you, that there's a passion, a compassion in your heart right now. That's the power to heal. That's the love of God. That's how God feels about you. If you give up every one of your internal organs to heal that baby. But you don't have to, because Jesus Christ already did. Go home, lay hands on your child, and you will see a miracle. Oh, Jesus. I'm telling you, I don't know, you managed to hand the mic back to me, Shane. The presence of God right now. Man alive. Glory, glory. Let's just take our seats for a second, shall we? Man alive. I'm just going to take some notes on what Shane said. Healing's not a reward, it's a gift. Man alive. You will be judged righteous. You can't even fit 6,000 grapes in you. Note to self, preach these all over the world, take the credit, accept grace life. You'll be found out. Man, I told you you'd be fed well tonight, didn't I? Awesome. Praise God. Praise God. It's good. You're starting to trust me with the speakers now. We're getting somewhere. It's only taken 7 years. Oh, man, I love you guys so much. I really do. It's just been an awesome meeting. Awesome meeting. Just put your hand up. Just wave at me if you know you've had a manifestation of healing. Something. You are not the same physically as you came in. Look at that. Look at that. Look what the Lord has done. Awesome. Man, we're not finished. We're not nearly finished. So,